Okay. Well, so we've got Tammy, we've got Bob, and let's see, who else?
And Jim.
Oh, Jim. Okay, great. Okay, so look, let's start off today with your agenda first, in terms of anything that's on your mind, and then I've got a couple of questions, and then we'll kind of pick up where we left off last time. So let's start with your agenda. What's on your minds in terms of your practice, your questions, implementing Supernova, execution? Why don't you just kind of start and just share thoughts? Let's have full transparency here. So, Tammy, why don't you give me your thoughts first?
Okay. I think it's going well.
Okay.
We are, we've segmented the clients. Jim has his clients, Dan has his clients, and then there's the house clients that are getting touched. A lot of positive feedback from the clients. They do like hearing from our office.
Okay.
Some clients don't need to be called every month, and also don't need to face to face. So we're trying to work through that aspect of it. And they verbally will say they don't want to come here twice a month, twice a year. So we're following it, but we're improvising slightly.
Yeah,
For
based on what answer
sometimes,
feedback that they're
yeah, some of
giving
the
you.
clients close and stuff. So, but it's going very well. We keep getting referrals, and clients are happy. So that's what they
Great, you're
want.
getting referrals. That's a plus. Okay, that's good to hear. I'm going to circle back with you on the clients that don't want to hear the calls, but first let's hear from the others. Jim, why don't you give me some feedback?
I've just been focusing on reaching out to my monthly clients. I haven't really been able to get in touch with a lot of them. I get a lot of voicemails, and then some give me a call back or tell them that I'll be calling again in the next month or quarter. I'm kind of treating most of my clients as like the Butler clients, kind of just quarterly contact, but kind of just like the way we set it up in our office. And it seems to be working fine. People are happy that I'm reaching out. Because a lot of these Butler clients, they don't, like Tammy said, they don't need to be contacted as frequently. There's no money that we haven't already gotten from them. They're not really referring anything, so but they're still getting contact at least quarterly.
But when something
Okay.
comes up, like
Yeah.
Verizon, we're proactive when like they're having a layoff, which we're aware of. So we would contact those clients more than what we would normally do just because we have the knowledge of that and just being proactive. So
Okay. All right. Okay, that's good feedback. Now, I'll circle back with you, Jim, on some of the comments that you made. Okay. How about Bob?
hey, Curtis.
it's
Hey.
Rob.
Rob,
Oh, Rob.
Rob to Bobby.
Okay.
Bobby Z.
Sometimes Roberts like to be called Bob, and so sorry about that.
All right. Most of the Roberts in my family, of which there are many, became Bob over the years. I got left out of
Okay.
that. So
You're definitely a Rob.
I'm still Rob.
All righty. So what feedback do you have?
I just echo, what everyone else has already said, that it's working real well. I mean, as far as my job or my desk is concerned, it's about the
Sure.
Supernova. It's about the Supernova service.
Okay.
So it's given our clients the red carpet service that they've not only to deserve, but they've come to expect, because that's one of the things we've always done very well is service our clients with whatever their needs are. Obviously, we try to help any way we can, even if some of the stuff they have going on doesn't quite fall within the jurisdiction of what typically what an advisor does for a client. So
okay. All right.
It's all good stuff. We do have a very pretty close relationship with a lot of our clients, so it's more, we're on a very friendly basis with a lot of our clients.
Okay. So that's,
I'm not saying
that sounds,
we're friends with everybody, but it's, we do have that relationship other than a strict client to advisor relationship, so.
Okay. Let's talk about a couple of things that you all pointed out. Number one, some clients don't want the monthly calls. So if you've reviewed their financial plans, the non-urgent items are the things that definitely trigger the additional calls. So you can't, come up with the same things to talk about. So you have to really start formulating your agendas, okay? So you should now have kind of almost an 18 to 24-month agenda. Now let me kind of explain what that does for you, okay? It gives you the topics to talk about. These calls should probably be 15 minutes in length. The reviews can take a little bit longer. When you're going through goal setting, you are looking at trusts and estates and things of that nature for clients, depending on their level of sophistication. So you've got a host of these holistic issues that they face. Now, some of them are saying, well, once a month for 15 minutes, is that too much? Okay, let's just go through a mental checklist of topics for a moment, and you throw out a few of your own. Mandatory retirement distributions, gifting strategies for grandchildren, mortgage refinancing, lending, reducing any installment debt. We got to look at the life insurance policies, make sure that the beneficiary designations are current. Okay, those are just five. That's 5 months worth of calls right there, okay? These are what I call non-urgent items. These are the things that people would rather spend time planning their next vacation rather than discussing these things with you, okay? So what happens often is that they feel a little embarrassed that certain things haven't been taken care of, and you're going to come in and you're going to talk about some of the gaps. Now, to Jim's point, when you're getting voicemails, the reminder notices have to go out that a call is taking place and that it is agenda specific. These are the two things I'd like to talk with you. 15 minutes, and then we're off. The other thing is you need to get in touch and keep your golden Rolodex of the client's other advisors and get permission to interact with them. They may have a banker. They may have an insurance person. So you have to quarterback the situation so that they follow your lead. Okay? The easy out is, I've got nothing to talk about. Okay. If all those five things have been taken care of and more, then it's true. You got nothing to talk about. Two of the calls got to be an economic overview twice a year. So that's two calls right there. The other is the two reviews just talking about the portfolios. That's four calls right there. That's four out of 12 contacts. So now there's eight remaining. I've given you five topics. So now you've got three that are outstanding, which I'm sure if you think about it, there's probably another three topics that they all should have, such as tax planning, tax deferring, funding IRAs, all of those kinds of things. That takes you up to probably 12 calls in a year. Now, how are you with what I just described to you?
I mean, I think that makes sense. It's more, I guess what I need to do better is having the agendas. Because when I call, I basically just check in, you know, see if they need anything. Like today, I talked to a client. I was just checking in with them. They weren't due for a face-to-face, but they requested one because they want to go over some things with Dan about building a new house, et cetera. So when I touch base, it's more about what's going on, any changes, any updates, do you need anything, more than – because a lot of the clients – the RMD wouldn't be applicable.
Sure.
Some don't have grandchildren, you know, so.
Yeah, I was just using that as just a host of topics that come out of financial plans. But so, Tammy, I think you've kind of hit on it. When you don't have a batch processed agenda calendar of topics, then they don't see the value, okay? And remember one of the things we said on one of the coaching calls was, you got to talk to them and ask them, what did you value today about the call? To make sure that you are dealing with their agenda and the things that they want to talk about. So the agendas go out 3 days in advance. And oftentimes, if they're feeling that the only reason that you want to call is to try to sell them something, then the calls are going to go flat. This has got to be new, exciting, invigorating, make them feel that because they spoke with you, that they got some value out of the call. Okay? So here's what happens, just to play it back. A specific agenda goes out 3 to 5 days in advance of the call. It's got topics that are very relevant. Then the call takes place. The next steps come out of that call on what should be discussed next. You send out a summary, executive summary. This is what we talked about. This is what we agreed to. These are the things we're going to discuss on the next call. Okay? So now they know what to expect. But if it's just, hey, just thought I'd touch base, they're going to think that, look, I don't have time. I'm busy. Or I'm trying to go fishing. So you've got to have something very, very specific to talk about. Okay?
Okay. That makes sense. Now, I mean, most of the people are, it's positive feedback, and they, things do come out of the calls that, you know.
Yes, I understand that there's some outliers out there, so, you know, that's okay. That's okay, for sure. Somebody was about to say something. So, Jim.
I think so.
So, if you are finding yourself where clients are not available, they're on your schedule, they have been notified that the meetings are taking place and they blow you off, make sure your agendas that go out are impactful. Let them know that you want to take 15 minutes. And then once you're on the call, if you need more time, ask for permission. I'd like to spend an extra 10 minutes with you if that's okay. If it isn't, you move it on to the next call cycle. Okay? Now, take 30-minute calls and multiply that times 12. Anybody got a handy-dandy calculator handy? Multiply 12 times 30 minutes. And that's going to tell you how much time you're spending with your clients on an annual basis. Okay? So let's do that. 30 minutes times 12. That's 360 minutes. Okay? Now, I'm going to divide that into 60. That's 6 hours. Okay, so now what we're saying is if you took 30 minutes, that's 6 hours. If you took 15, that's cut in half, down to 3 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm not getting on anybody's case, but I'm just trying to be facetious here. You can't spend, or they can't spend, 3 hours with you on an annual basis?
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
365-day year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I would say, more than not, don't complain about it. I just, you know, there's a couple grandmothers that watch their grandkids, and, you know, I'll call them, and they'll say, yeah, I'm good. Don't worry about it. Blah, blah, blah. You know, they just want to get off the phone.
I get it.
And I just have a
So I just wanted to, you to have this rationale for if it does come up with really good clients, that's what you're spending. Now, I know that there are people that spend more than time than that planning their next vacation. Okay, so that's the perspective that I wanted you to have. I wanted you to have some ammunition for your contact, because when you got this concierge service going on, then you can work the VIPSA model. Because what do you want clients to say for referrals? Oh, these people keep in touch. They talk about a range of topics, from education, tax efficiency, you know, so on and so forth. So you need to get in touch with the team I work with. So that's what you want to have happen based on this concierge service. It will come alive for you. Okay. The next thing, does that all make sense now? Sometimes we have to reinforce this a little bit. You know, one time doesn't quite get it. You know, we've got to do it several times. Okay. The next thing I wanted to share with you is, and I've been thinking about your team and getting to a point where you're raising the minimums. So let's go back through that for just a brief moment. What is your minimum account size that you're willing to take on? Jim?
My minimum?
Yes. What's your minimum target in terms of assets that you can bring on?
Yes, 200,000.
$200,000. Okay.
Yeah, for an account.
Okay. And I don't know, Rob or Tammy, do you have a number in mind?
Oh, for Jim? Or
Tammy and I are.
For Dan.
Oh, for Dan. I mean, we try to keep it, and I say try because it's not a hard, fast rule, 500.
Okay.
I mean, we'd like to be more, but when we have those phone calls with people calling in and they have 500, we take them. So you can say it's 750, but that's not what actually happens.
Okay.
Yeah, he's kind of holding on to 500 and above, and Jim's taking 500 and under.
Just a side note, just so you have a little bit more understanding.
Okay.
The reason behind that is most of our client referrals and most of our clients are Verizon employees, right? So if you have a Verizon employee that calls in and they have $480,000 or $520,000 that they want to invest in their retiring or whatever, and we say, I'm sorry, we can't take you, or you can't work with Dan, but you can work with our junior advisor, it kind of gives the notion, I mean, you could go either way with this. They want to grow their nest egg to be able to work with Dan is one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is, where I wasn't good enough, so Dan didn't take me. They'll go to another advisor. So getting a, you know, the negative feedback, the negative vibe.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a fine line with the with the Verizon.
That's why.
Obviously,
we have said no to other people other than Verizon that didn't meet that minimum.
Okay.
Yeah, and those are the clients Jim works with. So, you know, typically a working Verizon client that gets referred to us, you know, they may be ready to retire right now or in the next 6 months, and, you know, they're going to be rolling over, you know, 750, 800, a million, or they're going to be working for another 5-6 years, and, you know, they'll do a small rollout from their 401k, you know, 100 grand, 50 grand, just to get the ball rolling. And those are the clients that Jim works with. And then also Jim is in constant contact with the working clients, update them on the rates, et cetera, see if there's any job actions in progress. We get them in for informational sessions on if they're going to be taking a job off Verizon, how all that works and what we do for them. So the luck goes on with it. It's, you know, like it gets back to those minimums being they're not black and white. So
So that sounds good. But here's what I want you to think about. Okay? If we're going to move the practice to another level, okay, we're going to have to think about something that's very uncomfortable. Okay? Dan is going to have to start seeking clients outside of Verizon that have $2 million or more in assets. Now, here's the reaction. Holy cow. You know, how am I going to get there? Okay? Just think about this. 10 clients with $2 million or one client with $2 million replaces four with 500, okay, and helps to streamline the business and can refer you to like-minded individuals, okay? The person with 500 rarely is going to refer you up to the $2 million relationship. It's kind of like birds of a feather flock together.
Yep, I can see that.
Yep. I mean, it's That's just the way life is. And we're not saying we're elitist at all. We love everybody. We can't work with everybody. We now have grown in terms of business acumen, in terms of service, in terms of experience now, where we need to apply these capabilities to the next level of clientele. We call that in Supernova stair step to the stars. Okay? Now, Jim, you know, you get the handoffs of the small relationships.
Yep.
You can start thinking bigger too. Okay?
Yep.
You can start thinking about, okay, I've got 500 as maybe being your benchmark. Anything 500 and below, you're willing to take. Crank that up to 750. Let that be your target audience.
Right.
Now, I will tell you a little story. I was talking to another FA that I coached there. You know, the team is doing like $1.8 million. And I told him that you're going to have to take your target and crank it up to 2 million. I said, do you feel comfortable working with clients that have 30 million? Said, yeah. 10 million? Said, yeah. Okay, let's get that number cranked up to 2 million. They are definitely out there. You now are building this concierge practice. You got the experience now. Apply that to a wealthier client. Build your high net worth model. Take your holistic practice to the next level.
Well, that's what we're seeking and hoping to find by starting the some of the educational classes that Dan will be doing starting when, Tim? Starting when, next month?
The client with 2 million is probably not going to go to a class. Okay? He's not going to be found there. Okay? So let's take, for example, a business owner demographic. What are the pain points of the business owner? Guy's trying to make payroll. He's trying to manage his cash flow. He's got HR issues. His website is inadequate. He is weak on social media. So what can a team like yours do? Your team pulls out the golden Rolodex. You've got the lawyer that understands business owners, business formation. You got the CPA that understands the whole balance sheet income statement process for these kinds of clients. You got a social media expert in your back pocket that can help bring more business to that business. You know, you've got, you act as de facto CFOs for that business in terms of cash management, lending, lines of credit, so on and so forth. Next thing you know, you are providing value to a business that is contributing to their pension and retirement plan and all of those things. So you've got to understand the pain points in that business. The Verizon employee, on a typically, and I'm not saying now's the time to start unloading those clients. You're never going to do that. What I'm saying is now's your time, once you have got your practice organized, is to spend your facing prospecting time on cultivating the big relationships. The $2 million client will go to a country club. Here was an example. I want to share this with you.
Okay.
Weekend before last, I went to a event in Napa sponsored by a group called CFOs to Go.
Yep.
These are a group of former CFOs that formed a firm that do consulting to businesses. And one of the CFOs specializes in the wine, agriculture, cannabis industry. So they put together an event, and there were 150 people in attendance.
Yep.
And they were wealthy business owners, wine aficionados, so on and so forth. Those are the kinds of things that your $2 million people will come to. Okay? So I just wanted to plant that seed and give you an idea that if you're going to go out and reach that type of client, that you're going to have to do something a little bit different than the normal kind of classroom style training that you do for the people that have, you know, less than $500,000. They're going to need some support and help too, in terms of that those seminars and training that you do. But if you're going to reach the 2 million and above, you know, make it special. Have a guest speaker that they want to see. And then I used to do an event at this restaurant that was very, very hard to get into. Of course, I had the budget for it. It was called the French Laundry. And I'd have the little violinist out there, and the folks had to have $10 million and above in order to attend. And the FAs would invite, you know, five people max. And we'd have probably 60 people in attendance at this exclusive restaurant that took a year to get into. So I want you to think about how you upgrade and reach that type of clientele. It's totally different. But you've got to be, that's got to be part of your agenda if you are going to seek that type of client. They're there. You know, there may be a boating kind of thing where people come and look at the latest in boats, a boat show, and you have a sponsorship there. Now, the people that do that, they've got high net worth. Now, we used to do one in Pebble Beach called the Concours d'Elegance, where they would come and look at all these old cars on the golf course in Pebble Beach, and they all had net worths of several million dollars or more. The thing that always amazed me is that how many of those people actually exist. I'm just perpetually floored. So what I'm saying is take all the good that you do and begin to start to play into that space. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Give me some feedback.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I think right now for us is we have to start somewhere. And
yeah.
I think that we also need to have a budget that we know what we have to work with before we can, you know, do the bigger events.
Right. And you have to team those events with other advisors. Have that lawyer kick in. Have that CPA firm kick in. You know, have, you know, the chamber kick in. you know, and then you all kick in what you've normally been kicking in. But, you know, don't foot the entire bill. And, yeah, I tell you, I always had sponsorship, too. I had the mutual funds came in and they kicked in. So
right,
I want you to think about that from a budget.
Right.
Okay? That don't go it alone. Okay. So we talked about, and what we'll do, because we got started a little late, I wanted to make sure that you felt that I addressed your questions. You know, there are going to be some people who don't want the monthly calls. I get it. You've given some very positive feedback. And now what we're doing is we're looking at upgrading the practice. We're coming toward year end, and we should have a business plan and strategy document that speaks to where we're headed so that everyone is on the same page. Now, who's taking responsibility for the business plan and strategy document? Was that Jim?
Yes.
Jim, you're soft-spoken here.
Jim left the room. He had to jump on a phone call.
Okay. All right. So I would just suggest that we start moving toward that and you know, I'd like to spend some time, if you all can, and maybe go through the first four sections of the business plan. And, you know, who's ever going to take responsibility to bring the team together to discuss it, that would be great. Now, before we conclude, what are some of the next steps, Tammy and Rob, that you would like me to try to address on the call?
How many calls do we have left?
You know, I don't know the count, but this was for a total period of 9 months after your 12th call.
Right. So where are we right now? Because I need to put them on the calendar. I wasn't sure.
Okay. I'll review that with Cindy because I don't know off the top of my head, and we'll come back to you. But I think that we would like to have you with a business plan and strategy going forward and have me take the next steps because – you know, I'd like to see us elevate the practice from its current level to maybe 2 million gross. And what does that mean in terms of compensation for everybody else if we're able to get there?
Right.
So, you know, maybe it takes us 18 to 24 months to get there, but that's what I'd like to try to help you all do if that's a focus, if that's a goal. And the goal should be written in the business plan. If there's a pathway, we can get there. If there's no pathway, it becomes very, very difficult.
Agreed.
No. So you all are smart. You know what's going on. So we talked about your challenges, some successes, the execution. I think the summary here is raise the level of client now that we can go after. Now that we have the concierge practice, the clients with $1 million to $2 million love the concierge theme, okay? The ones with 200, not so much. They got to be treated more like butlers. Okay. Anything you think I ought to be thinking about for your team? Tammy? Rob?
But I can think of Tim.
Okay.
I think we're good.
All right. If you think of anything, it's okay to send an email. I want to make sure I'm helping you drive the things that you want to drive. And, you know, I'd like to see everybody raise these levels so that, you know, it's not always about the money, I understand. But if I can help you all, you know, improve your compensation because the practice is bringing in more money, then, you know, I'd certainly like to help do that. Okay? All right. Well, it's great talking to you. Have a wonderful day, and we'll chat with you next time.
All right. Sounds good. You'll have Cindy send an email to me about the dates or...
Yes.
Okay.
I will absolutely do that, Tammy. Thank you. And Rob, have a great one.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.